If you would, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Be there in just a second. I've got a question. Why this church? I remember coming to the conference here a number of years ago, and basically, based upon my job that I had, I really, because of that, could not make conferences. I was tied down back home, and finally got to a point where I could start making some of the conferences around the country. And I had maybe come up here many years ago once and then finally made the trip up here to a conference. So we're going back a few years anyhow. And one of the things I noticed, we were staying at the hotel and we drove over here. From that distance was the number of churches. And I remember getting up here and preaching, and I started off with about the number of churches that we passed. Catholic churches, Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, Episcopalian churches, Methodist churches. And I said, there was another church there I never recognized. It was the orthodontist. I'd never seen that one before, and they had the sign out front, "We'll straighten you out." But I think about this because even back home, I don't live in Baton Rouge. I tell you I do, but if I said Prairieville, you go, okay. Which is suburb. It's just outside of Baton Rouge. And I drive in to go. Our church is in Baton Rouge. And I pass a lot of churches. It would be convenient to leave the house and in 2 minutes I can get to a church. So the thought is, why this church? Why do I pass all of those churches? Why do you pass the churches you do to go to either this church or Cornerstone? Why do you do that? Well, I think there's some reasons there, and I think it has to do with a mindset, an attitude. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And so Paul writing here, it's interesting to note what he says in verse 3. "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." And I think, well, that's not a formula to really get you excited about going to church, is it? I don't think Paul brought a wow reaction when he got there. I mean, you know, they're in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. But you know why he did that? For what he says in verse 2. He says, "For I determined." I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The word determined means to judge or decide between something. Distinguish it out. In other words, Paul was of such great conviction about the gospel that he received and given it to others, that even though he was there in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, Paul made a determination. a judgment, a distinguishing that he must do this thing. And so he says, I don't come to you in man's wisdom. I'm coming to you with the simplicity of the gospel. Not coming in man's wisdom. That the power may be of God. It's God's power. And so Paul had a determination. I think when we get saved and we get exposed to the Word of God rightly divided, we need to determine. Take that word out of verse 2. For I determine. We need to determine. We need to come to that conclusion. Judge out that it's incumbent upon us to make that church what it should be in Christ Jesus. And that's what Paul was there for. He was there for the saints. He was there to build them up, strengthen them in the faith, even though he was there in weakness and in fear and much trembling. But he determined. I can tell you the preachers we've heard here, and Steve and Al, all the grace preachers that we have. You see them at the conferences and all. These men came to a point in their mind that once they heard the gospel and then saw the truth of the Word of God rightly divided, they had made a determination, this is what I need to do. Oh, it would be so easy to hang the first rite at the first church and just go sit there like a pump on the log. But we need to make a determination. We have prayer time. I have made it a point to always tell our people, grace churches, all the grace churches. You know, sometimes we back home think all of the problems that exist at our church is unique to our church. Well, it's not. We're all facing the same enemy, the same battle. We all have congregations of saved people, but still having this sin nature. Well, you've got to have a determination in yourself to make this thing work. To make this thing go. You know, it's amazing. I think about what the Lord wrote to Jeremiah. Look back in Jeremiah. Look back in Jeremiah chapter 11. The Lord speaking to Jeremiah told him to go tell the children of Israel, the men of Judah, what he's about to tell them. In Jeremiah 11, we'll start in verse 12. It says, then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. Israel had a little bit of a problem. They always went after other gods. And the Lord says, tell them, hey, when you get in trouble, those gods aren't going to help you. And he says in verse 13, for according to the number of thy cities were thy gods. As many cities had their gods in them. And then he says, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have you set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal? You know what he's saying there when he says, according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have you set up altars? You know what he's saying? He says there's a church on every corner. Every corner had a church there. The problem is, they all talked about Jesus Christ, but none of them preach the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, it was before Jesus. I'm making an illustration for today. There's a church on every street, just like it was back then. But it's a blessed thing. A blessed thing to see the Word of God rightly divided. And when you do, you make that determination. For I determine, Paul said. I judge out. I'm not going to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Make that determination. It's interesting if you go on down, verse 14. Therefore, pray not that thou for this people. Don't even pray for them. neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I'll not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. What hath my beloved to do in my house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many? And the holy flesh is passed from thee. When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. The Lord call thy name, a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. And it's interesting to note in Jeremiah 11, for you that really like to do studying here, there's a reference to Israel and Judah being there in verse 16, a green olive tree. You can take that and you run over to Romans chapter 11, and Paul writes about an olive tree over there. And he writes about Gentiles being grafted in. Well, folks, listen to me. Paul writes about a body. And he writes about the Spirit of God. When you hear that gospel, and Alan laid it out for you. In his 22 minutes, he laid it out. When you hear the gospel, the Spirit of God baptizes you into Christ Jesus. One Spirit. Are we all baptized into one body? We're into His death, we're into His burial, and we're into His resurrection. We're seated with Him right now. Well, folks, in Romans 11, the graft in there has nothing to do with the body of Christ. And people want to say, well, look, it's Gentiles that are being put into the body. No, it's not. It's a reference to a nation. And Gentiles receiving the blessing by blessing that nation. You've got to rightly divide the word of truth to see these things. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So I think determination is one of the things that's got to be set in your mind. Make a determination. As they say, get off the fence. Make a determination. If you look over in 1 Timothy, why this church? Well, you make a determination based upon the truth, the gospel, rightly dividing those things. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 18, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. The first thing that jumps out at me at this writing is Paul writing to Timothy and saying, my son. He accounted Timothy as his own son. He said, well, he was in the faith. Yeah, but he reckoned him as his son and brought him into himself. He said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. The word commit means to set before. I committed it to you. I handed it over to you, Timothy, my son. What did he hand over? The prophecies that went before. And the prophecies was about the faith that Paul received. It had to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking this morning about the faith of Christ. It was Christ's faith that justifies us. And that's the faith he delivered to Timothy, his son. And he says, by those prophecies, you can hang on to them and war good warfare. Because, my friends, we're in a warfare. You have people today that are saved. We're on the internet. People, there are some in our church. They're saved. They're in agreement with rightly divided, and that's why they're in our church. But they don't see that we're in a warfare. Bombs are going off around them. Swords are being slung. And they just don't see it. Paul knew about the war that went on, the battle that rages. And he's telling Timothy, with what I have committed to you, what I set before you, son Timothy, you can buy them. War, good warfare. And he says, hold in faith and a good conscience. Hold it. Are you holding faith? Are you holding faith? Did you receive the Lord and you're hanging on to it? And I'll tell you what's nice. A good conscience. We kind of got in a discussion in the men's thing this morning, and it was brought up about how in the world can men who are either pastors or teachers preach this book and they know within themselves that things aren't meshing. They're just not working right. There's conflicts in Scripture. This Bible, if you don't rightly divide it, it contradicts itself all over. The only way you're going to see it in its truth is by rightly dividing. How in the world do they continue on? Because of their conscience has been seared. You can take away that conviction by just writing it off and going with the flow. Hey, we got a church on every street corner. I'm part of this church. Why? We got a men's bowling league. We got a women's sewing league or whatever. I can knit better than you. Take that. I'm going to take my knitting needles and go home. But the program overshadows the truth of the Word of God. And that's what they see. That's what eases their conscience. Paul says, hold in faith and a good conscience. And a good conscience. Why this church? Well, I know Brother Steve. He holds his faith. He upholds it and delivers it. Why? Because he determined that's the truth. I made a conscientious decision to preach it and stay with it and not wash out with every church on every street, as Paul told Jeremiah. We're a unique bunch. Matter of fact, Paul tells Titus, we're peculiar people. We get called that all the time. Well, that's some peculiar people over there. You know, it's interesting to note that we are not there in Baton Rouge. We're not big like the big churches. We don't have all the bells and whistles that those big churches have. But it's interesting to note, I watch some of the preachers on TV from that area, and without naming us, I know they're addressing us. They're warning their people. Don't you go to that church that preaches that once saved, always saved stuff. That's a doctrine of the devil. Well, folks, I got a good conscience about it. I go to bed at night, my head hits that pillow, and I know if my heart stops beating, I'm going to be with the Lord. I don't mind that message. I love that message. That's what was delivered unto me. Is that once you trust in Jesus Christ, all of your sins have been paid for. All of your sins are forgiven. If it was a work-related thing, nobody in this world would have a hope of getting out of hell. That's security. It's just damnable security. There's a big preacher there, Baton Rouge, has his own television station on satellite TV. I tell you what, the guy can preach the cross. Oh, he can preach the cross. After he does it, there's that little word he puts in there, but. You trust in Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb that paid for his... I mean, he goes, oh, he's good. But you better keep your focus on the cross. Because if your focus gets off the cross, you've lost it. It's done. Well, what does that mean, keep your focus on the cross? I told our congregation, I watched him when I was sick the past 2 weeks. I got to view our enemies, our preachers on the other channel, and I was watching him, and so I was like, oh, this is good stuff for a message Sunday. So I got up there, I said, how many of you, when we leave out of here, first thing on your mind is going to be, where are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? I mean, you're going to leave here, and you're going to have your mind on something else. I don't understand that thought process. You've got to keep your mind on the cross. Well, the Lord always dwells with me. In my mind, I know the Lord's with me. I know He's forgiven me. I know I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But there are things pertaining to this world I've got to take care of. Car breakdown? Ain't much of a cross involved there. I got to go take it in to get fixed. So I don't understand that. And how you get people to follow that? Beyond me. Beyond me. I think it has to do with the conscience of men. They've been lied to their whole lives. And they just buy into the lie. Why should I go against the grain? Why should I buck the system? Well, folks, if you want to know the truth of Grace Church, that's the most rebellious bunch you'll ever have. Because we're the ones that came out. We're the ones that bucked the trend. We're the ones that came out of that tradition our family brought us into years and years and years back. Holding faith in a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. There are some that just put it away, don't they? You know, it's funny. You ever go down the road and see the first shipwreck faith of Jesus? I mean, come on, call it like it is. Concerning faith had made shipwreck. Get that sinking feeling? Welcome to the Titanic Grace Church. And then he names two people. Hymenaeus and Alexander. They came in there and gave Paul fits. But you know something? If Paul's congregations made a determination to stand upon those things he delivered unto them, they wouldn't be removed from it. Paul talked about in Ephesians being rooted and grounded and built up in Christ. Are you rooted and grounded? Once you see this truth, folks, let me tell you, once you see this truth, the devil's coming after you. And that dude don't sleep, he don't rest, he don't go on vacation. Goes 24/7. Heard a thing the other day about people that implies that we're Jews. Spiritual Jews, you've heard it before. I thought, you know, that wouldn't work. If we were considered spiritual Jews, I mean, could you imagine just working and working at your job, working and working, and you tell people, man, I've worked so much, I've worked 24/6. See, spiritual Jews, the Sabbath, they don't work 24/6. 24/7 goes better, right? Oh, we're the body of Christ. We're bought by the Lord. We're saved. We're sealed. And man, we're looking for an appearing. The Lord Jesus Christ to come and catch us out of this world. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. With the things that go on in this world and these bodies that are weak and sickly, I look forward to that appearing where I'll get that glorified body and forever be with the Lord. I want to thank you all, and I think it's time for us to move on. All right.
All right. Thank you, Mark. It's good to hear Mark preach again. Enjoyed all these men. Appreciate so much them making the effort to come and drive the distance as they did and be here. And just appreciate the fellowship. I tell you, And I was sitting there thinking, it's easy to focus on the folks that didn't show up, you know, and think about that. And it's always hard for me to understand because it's just hard to get enough of this for me, and I just enjoy it so much. And that's why we have a Bible conference every year, and we start on Thursday and go all the way to Sunday, and it's just a wonderful time, and I appreciate men that make themselves available and appreciate the message. And I hope you'll determine in your heart and your mind what you need to be doing for Christ's sake. And as Brother Moore used to say, just get on with it and do it because there's plenty to be done. All right, if you would, stand with me. I want to remind you again, we've placed one of the offering plates up here. We thought we might count it and lock the door and then, pass the plate, but we're not going to do that. There's an offering plate here. There's one on the table in the back. All the offerings received go to the radio station, as we've already mentioned. If you want to go out the back door and around, you can go into the fellowship hall that way on the sidewalk, or you can go right through this door here to my left on your right, and as you go through that door, take another right and go up through there, and I think the ladies probably have everything ready back there, and we're going to have prayer out here and say the blessing, and so when we get back there, we'll be ready to eat. And we want the all of you that are guests, particularly those from out of town, to go first. And since you are our guest, and all of our younger folks, kind of bring up the rear. And if you've got little kids that you need to help, you can take them with you. But we're going to let the adults go first. That's kind of something that you don't see done much anymore. When I was a boy, we always had to wait on the second table because all the adults ate. And then if there's anything left, we got to eat. And there was always something left, but it was... What was that Jimmy Rogers song? Take the old cold tater and wait, I think was the name of it. But you don't have to do that. There's plenty of food back there. I guarantee you we're not going to run out. And even if you haven't planned on staying to eat with us, do that because you'll enjoy the fellowship and there's plenty to eat back there, plenty of desserts. And we're just glad that you're with us tonight. And thank you for being here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity we've had to fellowship together around your word. We thank you for your word and for the simplicity of it, for the power of it. We thank you for men that preach it and stand for it. We thank you for the people that support the work and give and of their time and their effort and their money to support the ministry. And Lord, we just pray that we would continually strive together for the faith of the gospel, to do what you've called us to do, and to do it for Christ's sake, not to do it for our own benefit, but do it because of all that you did for us. We thank you for the food that's been provided. And we pray now that you would bless in the time of fellowship around the food. And we thank you for the fellowship we can have. And because it's based on our common faith in you and all you did at Calvary for us. And we thank you for that and pray that we might do what you would have us to do to stand true and stand fast to the Word of God. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.